From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. We've taken a short break from the Sermon on the Mount, as we have been featuring over the last few days, Father Lawrence Farley. He wrote an incredible book. I think the best book on the subject I have ever read. It is simply called Unquenchable Fire, the traditional Christian teaching about hell. None of us gets out of this world alive, but we will forever live somewhere, either with God in His grace and glory and goodness, or forever separated from that. Father Lawrence Farley, he not only wrote this incredible book, which, by the way, is available to anyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth, your copy available for your support. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But I was going to mention he also wrote an article which is titled In Defense of the Church's Traditional Doctrine of Hell. That article available in our Christian Research Journal, that journal a subscription magazine, and again, you can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I also want to mention to you that this subject is the subject that Jesus addresses not only here in the Sermon on the Mount, but throughout His earthly ministry. Jesus, for example, says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And then Jesus went on to say that many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and perform miracles?" And then Jesus says, "I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you doers of iniquity." So Jesus makes plain over and over again that there are two kinds of people. One, people destined for heaven. They are the purified bride that he will carry over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem. Another people who demonstrate that they do not want redemption. They do not want the presence of God. And therefore, God will not rub them out of existence. He will continue to sustain them in existence, albeit apart from His goodness, glory, and grace. Again, a very important subject, and the book and the article you can check out on the web at equip.org. Well, when we were last in Matthew, we had started talking about prayer. Jesus gives us a triple braided cord, the cord of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. We talked about almsgiving, which is the most secure investment that we can ever make, and that is period, full stop. But then Jesus teaches us how we can communicate with Him through prayer. So when you pray, says Jesus, do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly. As Jesus continues teaching his disciples how to pray, he begins by telling them, as we talked about last time, to address God as Father, which was earth-shaking in and of itself. Imagine, they were not even permitted to say the name of God, much less address him as Father, and yet this is precisely what Jesus teaches them to do. And he doesn't tell them to pray as rugged individualists, but rather to pray in plural. Our Father, who art in heaven. And of course, this majestic prayer follows with the words, hallowed be your name. To pray hallowed be your name is to put the emphasis precisely where it belongs. Our daily lives must radiate a far greater commitment to God's nature and holiness than even to our own needs. And thus, to pray hallowed be your name is to ask that our Heavenly Father be given the unique reverence that His holiness demands, that His word be preached without corruption, that our churches be led by faithful pastors and priests and preserved from false prophets, and that we be kept from language that profanes His holiness, that our thought lives remain pure, and that we cease from seeking honor for ourselves and instead seek that His name be glorified, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. In the words of St. Augustine, this is prayed for not as if the name of God were not already holy, but that it may be held holy by men. That God may become so known to them that they shall reckon nothing more holy, and with which they are more afraid of offending. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. In teaching his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, Jesus is teaching us to petition our Heavenly Father to expand his rule over the territory of our hearts. He is calling us to renounce our deal with the devil and to pledge allegiance to expand his kingdom rather than our own. So to pray, your kingdom come, is to pray that God would use our witness for the expansion of his kingdom. C.S. Lewis, and if you listen to me for any period of time, you know I love to quote him. He was absolutely right when he said, this world is enemy-occupied territory. And Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise. And he's calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Well, Christ has already won the war, but the reality of his reign is not yet fully realized. At present, you and I, well, we're sandwiched between the triumph of the cross and the termination of time, between D-Day and V-Day. D-Day was the first coming of Christ when the enemy was decisively defeated. V-Day is the second coming of Christ when the enemy shall totally and finally surrender. History is hurtling toward a glorious and climactic end when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. Your will be done is where we'll pick up when we continue with this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we consider the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray, a prayer that I hope is on your lips multiple times each and every day. We'll be back in just a few moments. Again, we'll be talking when we come back from the break about what it means to pray, Your will be done.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI. And stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and back to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And we pick it up with the words, thy will be done. This is such an important thing to pray. Because in the yielded life, there is great peace in knowing that the one who taught us to pray, your will be done, has every last detail of our lives under his control. So we can rest assured that even in sickness and tragedy, all things work together. They work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. God will not spare us from trial and tribulation. Instead, he will use the fiery furnace to purge the impurities from our lives. Jesus continues the prayer with these words, on earth as it is in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I said a few moments ago, the prayer of Jesus is divinely divided into two parts. The first focused on God's glory, and therefore we pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The second focused on our needs. And this is precisely how it ought to be. Jesus taught us to first reverence the realm of heaven, and only then to turn our petitions toward earthly things. The phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, is a glorious reminder that the Shekinah glory that once filled Solomon's temple will of a certainty fill the new heavens and the new earth. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We may therefore know that God has every detail of our lives under control, and we can pray with confidence, give us today our daily bread. When we ask our Heavenly Father to give us today our daily bread, we again are praying in plural. Not only are we praying for our own needs and those needs of our immediate family, but we're praying for the needs of our extended family as well. We do not pray as mere individualists. We pray as members of a community of faith. All you need to do is turn on the television to be reminded that our sisters and brothers, icons of God around the world, suffer daily from maladies ranging from drought to deadly diseases, and yet all too quickly the images fade before the next commercial interruption. You know, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus told what I like to call, there are no moving vans following hearse's story. Jesus had richly blessed a man whose priorities remained out of whack. His rhetoric was laced with self-interest. My grain, my goods, my. There was nothing wrong with how he had gained his wealth. No hint of impropriety. The problem was that he had purposed in his heart to take life easy, to eat, drink, and be merry. And in the process, he had become insensitive to the needs of others. The condemnation of our Lord was not only crisp and clear, It was downright chilling. "You fool," he said. "This very night, your life will be demanded from you." That ought to arrest all of us. We are one heartbeat away from an ocean of eternity. And when we think about that, we ought to also think about the next thing Jesus taught us to pray, which is, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Remember, directly following this prayer, Jesus will say to his disciples, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." In other words, he's reminding all of us that mutual forgiveness between us and others is the prerequisite for God's forgiveness. Again, Jesus says, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins." Those who do not forgive are thus not forgiven. This is a theme that our Lord returns to again and again during the entirety of his earthly ministry. The theme of forgiveness. And following that petition, Jesus taught his disciples to focus on temptations that come forth from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. He taught his disciples to pray, and vicariously all of us, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And when you pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," you should immediately remember to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If you're clothed in the armor, you're invincible, but without it, you're a guaranteed casualty. From the primordial garden to the present, the devil and his hellish hordes have honed the craft of temptation. You know, he knew exactly what to say to tempt Eve to fall into a life of constant sin, terminated by death. And twice, the tempter found David's Achilles heel and sent flaming arrows deep into his soul. When we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we're acknowledging that God is sovereign over all things, including the temptations of Satan. It is significant to note that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And thus, while Satan was the agent of temptation, God was the author of testing. Satan used the occasion to tempt Christ to sin. God used the occasion to demonstrate that Christ could not sin. The very fact that Jesus withstood the temptations in the wilderness is our guarantee that one day soon the kingdom will be ours. The tempter will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, and temptations will be no more. We are going to enter the golden city with divine assurance that nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll say it again, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer mantra. It's a prayer manner. It is a means by which we may step out of the shallow tide pool of our own hearts and plunge into into the unbounded ocean of uncreated energy, a means by which we may transcend surface things and experience union with God. The very union that you and I were created to experience. This is what is known as deification. This is what is known as fellowship in the Holy Trinity. And part of the pathway there is to not only recite the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, but to understand what the significance of that prayer is day by day as you travel towards eternity. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back with more of the Sermon on the Mount as we continue through Matthew's incredible gospel. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.